and in this case, anatomically improbable, two-digit act of Congress, three of clubs. This tawdry tableau, which I'm not proud to commit to the page, goes a long way toward explaining the unlikely spot I find myself in at the moment. Sitting to my left is Ram Coley, an unshaven 25-year-old business consultant from Richmond, Virginia, who is also the defending United States memory champion. To my right is the muzzle of a television camera from a national cable network. Spread out behind me, where I can't see them and they can't disturb me, are about 100 spectators and a pair of TV commentators offering play-by-play analysis. One is a blow-dried veteran boxing announcer named Kenny Rice, whose gravelly bedtime voice can't conceal the fact that he seems bewildered by this jamboree of nerds. The other is the Pele of U.S. memory sport, a bearded 43-year-old chemical engineer and four-time national champion from Fayetteville, North Carolina, named Scott Hagwood. In the corner of the room sits the object of my affection, a kitschy two-tiered trophy consisting of a silver hand with gold nail polish brandishing a royal flush, and, in a patriotic flourish, three bald eagles perched just below. It's nearly as tall as my 2-year-old niece, and lighter than most of her stuffed animals. The audience has been asked not to take any flash photographs and to maintain total silence. Not that Ram and I could possibly hear them. Both of us are wearing earplugs. I've also got on a pair of industrial-strength earmuffs that look like they belong on an aircraft carrier deckhand, because in the heat of a memory competition, there is no such thing as deaf enough. My eyes are closed. On a table in front of me, lying face down between my hands, are two shuffled decks of playing cards. In a moment, the chief arbiter will click a stopwatch, and I will have 5 minutes to memorize the order of both decks. The unlikely story of how I ended up in the finals of the U.S. Memory Championship, stock still and sweating profusely, begins a year earlier on a snowy highway in central Pennsylvania. I'd been driving from my home in Washington, D.C. to the Lehigh Valley to do an interview for Discover magazine with a theoretical physicist at Kutztown University who had invented a vacuum chamber device that was supposed to pop the world's largest popcorn. My route took me through York, Pennsylvania, home of the Weightlifting Hall of Fame and Museum. I thought that sounded like something I didn't want to die without having seen. And I had an hour to kill. As it turned out, the Hall of Fame was little more than a sterile collection of old photographs and memorabilia displayed on the ground floor of the corporate offices of the nation's largest barbell manufacturer. Museologically, it was crap. But it's where I first saw a black-and-white photo of Joe the Mighty Adam Greenstein, a hulking 5'4" Jewish-American strongman who had earned his nickname in the 1920s by performing such inspiring feats as biting quarters in half and lying on a bed of nails while a 14-man Dixieland band played on his chest. He once changed all four tires on a car without any tools. A caption next to the photo billed Greenstein as the strongest man in the world. Staring at that photo, I thought it would be pretty interesting if the world's strongest person ever got to meet the world's smartest person. The Mighty Atom and Einstein, arms wrapped around each other, an epic juxtaposition of muscle and mind. A neat photo to hang above my desk, at least. I wondered if it had ever been taken. When I got home, I did a little Googling. The world's strongest person was pretty easy to find. His name was Mariusz Podzianowski. He lived in Białorowska, Poland, and could deadlift 924 pounds, about 30 of my niece's. The world's smartest person, on the other hand, was not so easily identified. I typed in highest IQ, intelligence champion, smartest in the world. I learned that there was someone in New York City with an IQ of 228, and a chess player in Hungary who once played 52 simultaneous blindfolded games. There was an Indian woman who could calculate the 23rd root of a 200-digit number in her head in 50 seconds, and someone else who could solve a 4-dimensional Rubik's Cube, whatever that is. And of course, there were plenty of more obvious Stephen Hawking types of candidates. Brains are notoriously trickier to quantify than brawn. In the course of my Googling, though, I did discover one intriguing candidate who was, if not the smartest person in the world,